thank you for tuning in to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith radio broadcast. Join us where everyone will be uplifted, young and old. For more information, visit us online at theapostolicfaith.org.
Calendar of events for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. The 64th National Men's Conference, May 24th through the 27th, 2018, at 1534 North Davis Street, Jacksonville, Florida, 32209. The 69th National Youth Conference, July 8th through the 15th, 2018, at 3700 Carl Street, Dallas, Texas, 75210. The 83rd National Convention, August 23rd through September 3rd, 2018. The location will be announced. The schedule is subject to change as led by the Spirit and the direction of Apostle Patterson.
And a good morning to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the saints thereof. We say, peace be unto you and praise the Lord Jesus. It is such a great joy again to be with you, to tell you what you ought to do. That speech is very old, but the new one is just about the same, to tell you what you should do. Because everyone today is going to save themselves, they think. They want their souls to be in the everlasting promise of God. And God then sent a preacher that will search out the acceptable words and that will preach the certainty of the truth. And again, that is why we're here today. We are perplexed in some things and we are weary, but not in doing well. In the things that are going well, I'm not weary with God. But I grow weary with why mankind won't follow the word of God. The word of God is written against them that are contrary to it. So today I would like, as we often do, have a discussion. I realize that I have a discussion with your mind and your thoughts because I'm not there with you to go back and forth, but you can do that in your heart and mind as I speak. You can think about and consider the things that I say, and then the Lord will be between you and I, and he will give you the understanding in all things. So as we have this discussion, I would like your heart and mind to have these thoughts that we go back and forth and discuss this thought. In preparation to meet the Lord, what size suitcase do you think you need to pack? Maybe just an overnight bag, maybe a bag that will fit in the overhead bin, or maybe a bag that has to be checked because you're going on a long trip. So you had to check that at the desk. What do you think you need to put all the things that you want to take with you? What do you think, what size bag do you think you need? I mean, you could take something as small as something that can fit under your seat in front of you. Something can go in the overhead bin, or something you got to put in the belly of the plane because you have a lot of things that you want to take with you. Now let's discuss this trip that you are packing for. Because if you're going to meet the Lord, what do you think you're going to need? How much of what you have now are you thinking that you have to pack to carry with you? Of everything that you possess, what are you going to take with you when you go meet the Lord? I'm very curious, in your mind, what are you thinking that you are going to have to take, and what size bag or luggage do you think you need to put all the things that you want to carry to meet the Lord? What do you want to carry with you? Most of you have come to the conclusion in your mind, I can't take anything that I have with me. Naked I came into this world, and that's how I'm going out. Nothing that I have can I take with me. If that is the conclusion that you have come to in your heart and mind, then answer me this. Of all the things that you have, why are they so important that they hinder you from obeying the word of God, to let it all go even while you're here, to seek the kingdom of God first? Why is it that you cannot give up your whatever it is? You have so much because you have worked so hard to gain all of these things. When your soul lays in the balance for the salvation of the soul, is in the balance of what is needed. But the important things to you right now is what you have. You've laid up all your money in the bank. You put it there for a rainy day, you say. But if you die today, that money remains in the bank. Someone living gets it and spend it on riotous things. There was a gentleman in the church some years ago. I got a chance to meet him at the beginning of my ministry. And he said Bishop Johnson told them to raise money for the headquarters church. And he began to still put money in a bank account, even though Bishop Johnson was dead. He was putting thousands and thousands of dollars in an account to help build the 21st and Bainbridge Street Church, which was already built and paid for. But in the building was finished in the 50s, and in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, he was still putting money in this account, and had hundreds of thousands of dollars in an account for the building of the church. And after I met him and told him, you know, the church is finished, but he said Bishop Johnson said do this, so he continued to do it. I heard a few moments after I met him, moments for me could be hour, days, weeks, months, or year, but not very long after I met him, he died. And from my understanding, when I checked to see who inherited the funds that he had in the bank for the church, I heard he had a son that was not well when it came to the use of drugs. So his son then took all of his money and used it not for anything to do with the church, but for his drug habit. But I wonder what size luggage he was preparing to meet the Lord, but because the money he raised couldn't go. The false thinking he had can't go. So I wonder today, are you going to be like this man? That you are preparing for what you think is important. But Jesus gave us a parable of a man that had plenty. He had so many barns that all that he had harvested, all that he had gained, would not now fit into, let's call, his piece of luggage. He had now gained so much stuff, he needed another bag to put all of his things. And many of you are quite familiar with the speech of Jesus in this parable, this teaching. Then he said, O fool, today thy soul is now required, and there has been nothing done toward the kingdom, because everything that you've done on this shore cannot cross to the other shore. So when I ask you the question at the first, what are you going to take with you and what size baggage do you need for it to fit? And I want you to understand nothing that you have gained with the use of your hands in this world can go with you. The only thing that can cross to the place that you are going is your obedience to the word of God. If God said, to inherit my kingdom, you must be born again of water and spirit. And the certainty of these words of truth is everyone that received their sainthood and did those things that are according to the word of God, even the body that God had on, was able to go across that gulf and have life everlasting. Christ even gave you a speech from a man in hell. He made him open his mouth and speak to all of us concerning, don't come here. Don't come here because it is an awful, dreadful place. And he asked that they send someone to his family to give them the certainty of the words of truth so that they would not come. And today, I'm here. Because Jesus told them in this speech, even if one comes from the dead, you all will not believe. But pack your bags. Pack the size luggage you think is going to cross over into everlasting life. What do you think you need? Because I'm here to warn you also by the certainty of my words that if you are not baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, you're going to have an issue crossing. If you have not received the Spirit with evidence that you have it, as they did on the day of Pentecost, as they did at Cornelius' house, as two examples, you can't cross. And I have this thought in my mind that broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many going to go that way, but narrow is going to be few folk. And in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, when you get ready to board a plane now, they check everything. They check you to make sure that you have sufficient to go beyond a certain point. And in preparation for doing that, you make sure that you've done everything lawful. So if they pat you down or if they do anything to you, you're going to be found worthy to go to the place where you're trying to go. Such is the kingdom of God. You have to make preparations for this flight. You're going to have to make preparation even to get into the door. And he said, you cannot get in unless you're born again of water and born again of the Spirit. And you think all of your possessions are important. And I'm here today to tell you they are not. Because they're going to remain here. For some time, I have had this thought that all I've done in the natural is going to end up in a black Ziploc bag on the curb. Those big black plastic bags are going to get all of my things that are not important to someone else. And they're going to stuff all that stuff and call my stuff junk and put it on the curb. And the garbage man is going to come and haul it off to a landfill. So it's not going to profit me to gain houses and land and stuff. And I have not done what is necessary to wake to everlasting life. I remember the passing of my uncle, and my uncle Arthur left me his home and all of his things, and there was some controversy as to his house and other things, and I said, you know, this is not important to me. I knew what he wanted. I took him to the lawyers, and they set up everything. And when he passed, others came in and said, well, we want this. And I backed up and let him have it all. Because the size of luggage that I need, I don't need any luggage. I don't need anything to go to take where I'm going. I think of Christ. Even his garments was taken off of him. And when he got on that cross, there was nothing that he did while he was born until that hour that could cross over with him when he was hanging on that cross. But he had done everything that was told of him prior to him putting on a body called flesh and blood. It did everything it was supposed to do before death. And even after death, he rose again because he was God. And he said, like manner, I would also. So in your thinking that you've got to have a certain amount of money in the bank, have a huge house, many cars and clothes and shoes, and you need all of this stuff. But if the Lord comes and say, tonight your soul is required, what have you gained that you're going to be able to exchange and tell God, I can give you this if I can take that now? And you haven't done anything toward the kingdom. All of the poor that you walked over and you could help, all of the ones that were sick that you could have visited, or you could have asked the Lord to do something for them. You know, it is amazing that if you are of God, it is amazing how he moves your mind to consider things of others and not yourself. While I was sitting preparing myself for this broadcast, I got news that someone's brother died. And my mouth asked, was he a young man? And I was told that he was 36 years old. And it kind of moved my whole thought thinking to what I'm talking to you about right now. I am sure he was not of the thought that this is my last breath. But my mind went to comfort the ones that are still living, the sister that is still here. I offered a sacrifice of prayer of peace for her. And I realized sitting here how all of my heart and mind and soul and thinking is on someone else to help someone else. That's all I think about most of the time. The things that I do is try to help someone. And even sometimes I do it to my own detriment. But the Lord always provides. But I'm sitting here contemplating. All of you that listen to this station at this hour, you've got to answer this for me. Because young people die. Old people die. People die. But when you do, shall you live again? And what do you leave that was so important to you that is not important to someone else, that is in a trash bag on the curb and the trash man takes it to a landfill or to a furnace? And you lose twice. All of your natural things are gone in a black paper bag They clean out your house and someone else comes in. And then your soul is lost because you were not born again of God. There was a song many years ago that was inspired by a colleague of mine. And he said, Patterson, when I die, I want, and he described the casket and the service, all of this stuff he wanted really nice. And I asked him, where is Christ, my friend? You want all of this hoopla, but you won't know anything. I said, all the flowers that people can bring you, you can't smell a one. I said, when they bring flowers, I'm going to bring you a bowl of soup. Because if you can smell those flowers, you can eat the soup. But you will not be able to eat soup or smell flowers. So where is Christ, my friend? So in your thinking that you're on your way to worship God today, what size luggage are you preparing to meet God while you are tabernacling in this flesh and blood? What are you doing now to meet God? Because your house can't help you meet God. Your car cannot help you meet God. So the next time you see somebody that says, I want a financial blessing from God, ask them where in the scripture was such a thing ever done. People that came to Christ, they came for their souls. They came for healing of bodies. They asked Peter on the day of Pentecost when they heard they had crucified the Lord of glory, what shall we do to be saved? There was nothing that Peter gave them that could have helped them in the present world. He said, repent and to be baptized. Baptized means buried in water in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter was preparing all those souls to leave this consciousness and grab one that is just phenomenal, that makes this body react a certain way because its sights are on something that is not tangible in this world, but it knows the world to come. So I ask you, where is Christ, my friend? Because I can bring you a bowl of soup, but it won't help you at that hour of death. But I can give you life now, and you can live forever. Because what I will give you is the certainty of the words of truth, that Christ died for your sins, and for your iniquities, he was beaten. And if you wrap your brain around that, you will have the equivalent of what Peter gave them on the day of Pentecost when all the prophets prophesied of Christ. And then one prophesied that it was going to break out at Jerusalem. And it did. And that thing that broke out and started at Jerusalem was what Peter preached that Christ gave him. Where is Christ, my friend? You're so busy with your routines, going to work, coming home, playing, whatever it is you do it, going to worship on first day. But where is Christ? Where is the burning in the heart to help someone with what he has blessed you with? Where are your thoughts for someone else beside yourself to help someone else? To speak to God for someone else? Every time of a tragedy, we all come together and weep for a moment. And as we live and as God give us breath, our bodies live on and live on. But at that tragedy that somebody died, that body begins to decay in the ground. And sometimes people just move on and forget. that someone you loved lived and was destroyed in this world. And they are decaying in a box in the ground. And we're asking today, where is Christ, my friend? Because when the canker eats, what happens to the soul at the coming of God? Will you decay and never live again? So how much luggage do you need to pack all of the crap and stuff that's in your heart and mind, the mess, when the Lord is saying, let it go? I will bless you with the necessities. But all of the thinking in the minds of people that I got to get, I got to destroy as many people as I can to get. People walking through neighborhoods, you know, just trying people's car doors just to see if they're unlocked. And if they're unlocked, just taking people's things in the middle of the night. What are you thinking about? We can judge that person as wrong, but what about us that going after houses, lands, and every time you turn around, you want a financial blessing? To do what? To buy what? To accomplish what? When your soul is required at the present moment. Once the tragedy has passed and you've buried someone, and you are living on. Today, I want you to consider, how much did they take with them? You know, in the Egyptian days, they put a whole lot of stuff in the tomb with the king of the Pharaoh. He never woke up to eat any of that stuff. They buried people alive with them to look after them for the afterlife. They ate it. But they died also because they were sealed in there. What do you think you need to be prepared for you at your crossing over? What you need is the new birth. The new birth is, you can carry that within your soul. You can carry that to your cross. You can carry that wherever you go. You are at any time. You are ready to be changed. You don't need any suitcase to pack anything. You are forever, ever ready because you have been born again of a spirit. Consider these things. Because I don't know, as the songster wrote, what tomorrow will bring. I don't know where my next step will be. But this I do know, there is nothing in this world that I have accomplished that I need to put in a suitcase to go with me to my grave. My box is going to be free of anything that I've done here. But what my box will have is the light and the certainty of God's words of truth. So, the preacher then asks God for words that are necessary to save the souls of men. So here they are. Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Do it for the remission of sins. And I'll give you this promise. You shall receive the Holy Ghost. And this promise is not just to you. It is to your children and them that are far off from you. It is even to those that the Lord shall call. My thought for your thinking is, you know you're not going to carry anything out of here with you. But you can carry God. He will be there. And put an angel on your grave to sit while you sleep. Now, what do you think is more important? With God, even in this realm, you have the best of both. You have the best of God in this world, and the best of God in the world to come. In this world, all that he give you, all that you receive as a blessing from God, you will help them that are in need. You would have the mind of Christ. Here Christ had nothing, and he asked of them that were with him, what is it that you have? When he saw a multitude in need, he had nothing materially, but he took what was given to him and he multiplied it to feed the multitude. And when they were finished and had eaten to the full, he still had fragments left. But again, he had nothing. But what he was able to do was to get from someone else and then give. And in all of that giving, he didn't care whether they saw the miracle or not. He still provided. So when you were considering, I want Christ in my life, your whole life then changes. The kingdom of God will come in you. You will be in it, and it will be in you. You will be a new creature in Christ, and you will walk a different walk. So, what are you thinking? If you think that your entrance into God's kingdom is important, then you got to make sure you go through the right door with the right key, with the right knowledge, and the right angel. Because some angels lost their estate. And those angels can act just like they are God's angels, and they're not. They're deceivers. They're evil, and they would make you do wickedness that you never thought you would. And I often think now of the scripture that said, if the ruler hearkens to lies, everyone that serves that ruler is wicked. So if you have a ruler and they hearken to lies, if you serve that ruler, you are just as wicked as him. So what do you think is important if lies are going to be your refuge? How can you be in Christ and you are a servant to lies? When Peter pressed upon men to be saved, he said, repent and be baptized. It behooved everyone that wanted the correct answer and the certainty of the words of truth that Peter gave for the salvation of their souls. They did what Peter asked them to do, and they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And when it was necessary for their souls to wake, it then required that they their obedience to Peter's words be done. So when men tell me, well, I would rather do what Christ said, not what Peter said, when they look at Matthew 28:19 and Acts 2:38. But Peter did what Christ instructed him to do. And when Peter took those souls, they began to find the remission of sin because he took them to water and baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ. In Matthew, if you look at it, there is no promise in Matthew 28:19. There is nothing there about repenting from nothing. But when you look at the word that Peter gave the church, all of the promise of God is there. The repentance, the water baptism, and the baptism of spirit. Everything that he had given Nicodemus to how a man inherit the kingdom, Peter had it all. So, put that in the luggage that you have now, because it can prepare your crossing. And you don't have to worry about things. Because it is necessary that if you are going to be one the Lord is calling for, you're going to obey this gospel. I leave it to you. But I want you to think about all that you can gather, all that you can get. You can't take it with you. And I leave you with my testimony that there was an anointed one of God that gave me truth. His certainty, his words were truth. My desire was the saving of my soul. And that anointed one of God said, repent. Be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And he said, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. I did what he asked. And then he began as an anointed one of God to search for me. He searched the unsearchable things of God so that I could have the right to the tree of life. He began to search the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, to give it to me. And he did. He said, follow these words of truth. And I did. But when he died, I had something that could sustain me. So when the evildoer came to try to turn me away from truth and the certainty of the man of God's words, I was not of the contrary part because I was not going to leave the certainty of his words. And this is my testimony to you. So when Bishop S. McDowell Shelton passed and fell asleep, it was Kenneth Shelton, his son, that called me while I was in service and said, your grandfather, he was my grandfather, wanted you to know that he might not be here when, because I had a scheduled trip to go visit him. And I thank God that at that time, you could just get on a flight and travel. You didn't have to go through security and all that kind of stuff in 91. And I went, and when my plane was in the air from Charlotte to Philadelphia, he passed, and I knew it. And when my brother-in-law came to get me from the airport, I said, there's no need to take me to his house. You might as well take me to the church. He's gone. And Brother Wells said, he said, Anthony, don't say that. I said, you might as well take me to the church. He's gone. And when we got to the church, Elder Isaac was making the announcement that he was gone. And the wailing, the weeping and the wailing that was in that place at that moment, I'll never forget. But he did not need any luggage for where he was going. And I don't need any for where I'm going. But when his son, Kenneth Yedidith Lemud, began to wrestle the church away from truth, I didn't move one moment, not one day, away from what I was given. And after all of these years, he spent all of the wealth of the church on lawyers, I mean, to the tune of millions. One lawyer was able to send her son to a Ivy League school to major in law. I mean, he has put millions of the church's wealth into lawyers fighting truth. And he hasn't gained a thing. But as for me, I still have the truth that I had from the beginning that I was given. And I have not, in my heart, mind, or soul, turned from what I was given. So when you look at a testimony of a man that is held to the truth,
There's nothing you can do to a man that believes. I don't care if he believes in a lie, he's going to believe in that lie. There's nothing you can do to make that man change. But when a man believes the truth and the certainty of those words, he's going to hold on and he'll be able to meet the Lord with them. Because just like Moses had the people to know that they will follow Joshua after he passed on, just like David knew Solomon would reign after him. So even though Adonijah stood up and said, I'm going to be king, it didn't matter what Adonijah did. David was still king. So when you look at what Christ has asked you to do, if someone comes up and tell you something contrary to what God and the Word has told you to do, follow God. Because in you then will be the thing that is necessary to do what he did on the cross when they took everything from him. And he didn't need anything to go down to that ground and get up. And I'm lacking the thought of when he got up and he walked along the road and he found this man Cleopas walking. And Cleopas had this sad countenance. And he said, what is wrong? He said, are you not a man familiar with what happened to us in the last days? And Christ said, what? And he began to explain that Jesus was taken and he was found guilty of nothing that he was guilty of. He was crucified. He was buried. He said, and this is the third day that we thought that he would be the one. And he was talking to God. And when he broke the bread, Cleopas' eyes, they all opened. And he knew. He said, but my heart burned as he began to talk. So he knew. And this is something that I want in your heart, and I want you to have my testimony, that you hold on to the truth. You hold on to the certainty of the words of truth. And those words, I don't care what somebody tells you. And I'm talking about the certainty of the truth of the water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus told the disciples to go somewhere and do something in his name. They didn't go and use his titles. They use his name. We preach in the name of Jesus Christ. They did not preach in his title, the Father, or the Sonship, or the Holy Ghost in the church. They preached in his name. They adjured things, even the enemy, by the name of Jesus. They did not use his title as Lord, or even as King of Kings or Lord of Lords. The Rose of Sharon, they didn't use any of his titles he had used. But they used his name. So when you prepare your soul to be a follower of Christ here and a follower of Christ to the new land, follow the words of truth. Find the certainty of the words. If Jesus said, go ye therefore and baptize in my name, teach all nations, baptize them in my name. Find the certainty of those words that are true. And how often do I give you this parable of, if I gave you a check to go put in the bank in your name for $1 million. No one is going to put the account in the name of father, son, husband, wife, daughter, whatever other title you think you can have. First lady, second lady, minister, elder, bishop, apostle. None of you are going to do that. You're going to use your name. Because if peradventure you put it in the titles, somebody else comes and say, I'm father, I'm son, and I'm... It doesn't distinguish. But when Christ gave the instructions for the entrance into the kingdom to Nicodemus. He therefore then preached to the disciples how to do it. Peter was there. He was the chief one there that was going to start it out for Christ at Jerusalem and at Cornelius' house for the Gentiles. It would be Peter that would lay the same foundation for the Jewish family as it was for the Gentile family. What are you going to pack? What are you going to put in a suitcase? I'm saying I don't need one, because I'm going to go with God, because I'm going to have him on the inside. So my heart is going to not be a stony heart against his words. It would be a fleshly heart to obey him. What are you going to do? This has been preached almost 100 years. And still, there are more people being baptized using a title than there are being baptized using the name. Just about every so-called denomination of faiths, most put a person in the water and say, I therefore baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and don't do it. So they don't tell the people the truth. But when you come to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, as Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, my dear brother or my dear sister, I therefore baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And they put that soul in the water, and the name of Jesus on that soul make the water then grab all of their sins and iniquities and leave them in a watery grave. And that person comes up now in the newness of life. And then the person tells them, and you shall receive. They give them this great promise of a spirit that can keep them ever. But if you think about what the religious world do, most of them, the largest, they say church in the world, don't baptize really a soul. They take water and they sprinkle on them. And baptize itself means to bury in water. But they have a bowl of water, and they put a few fingers in a bowl and throw it on the forehead of a child that never repented. Heart was not contrite, because the child has no knowledge of what you're doing. But this is supposed to be the largest, and they're in every corner of the world. If that is the case, the scripture says the end should have come. So if the end did not come, that means that was the wrong gospel that went around the world and touched every corner of the world. It was the wrong gospel, because the scripture says when it bumps the ends of the earth, then shall the end come. And the end is not here. So that means if that is the one that they said is everywhere, it is not the gospel, because the end has not come. But they baptize more souls with the instructions, but do not do them. That is the broad way. The narrow way is the way of truth, the certainty of the words of truth. That I therefore baptize you in the name, and I'm going to give you that name that hath all power. That's the name that washes away sin. Because he died so that he could get the victory over death and destroy all the works of the devil. So for the last 100 years, this gospel has been going out, and we're trying to get to the ends of the earth so that the end can come. But will you be ready when the end come, when your end come, or when the end come? Will you be ready to meet God and say, I've done all you have asked me to do. I was washed of my sins. I receive your spirit and it abides in my soul. It is the thing that has guided me all the way here. So when you think of my first question, before you even knew my speech, and I ask you, what size bag do you need? Carry on? Something that can fit under your seat, something can go overhead, something you know you just got to put under the belly of the plane because you got so much stuff to carry. But now you realize you don't need any of that because you can't take any of it with you. But are you ready with your nothing but I've done what he has required of me? I have. And at any moment, I'm ready to meet God because I met him in the water. I met him when he filled my soul with his spirit. And I still have this testimony that not even a wicked man can change me from truth. And I offer that now to you. I'm so glad I had this opportunity. Be well. And I bid you the peace of God. Peace be unto you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith radio broadcast. Join us where everyone will be uplifted, young and old. For more information, visit us online at theapostolicfaith.org. I'm gonna leave this world.
today, maybe tomorrow. Thank you, Lord.